Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, I'm Grant Wall, and welcome to the Planet Football Podcast. This is our Women's World Cup podcast with me and Sports Illustrated's Lakin Littman. We'll be publishing podcast episodes after every U.S. game during the tournament. While we've got you, make sure to check out our podcast series, Throwback, on the origin stories of the U.S. Women's National Team and the FIFA Women's World Cup. That's Throwback. You won't regret it. Onward. Let's bring in Lakin Littman. Lakin, USA 2, France 1. The U.S. is in the semifinals of the Women's World Cup. How are you, and what are you thinking here?
I'm good, Grant. How are you?
I'm good.
I heading into this game, I honestly was questioning my pick of the U.S. to win the World Cup. And coming off that win over Spain, I was... had some doubts, and I thought that, you know, maybe France can pull this thing off. And then, you know, the U.S. takes an early 1-0 lead. France isn't, you know, they're not finishing. But then the second half happens, and I think France is going to come back. But the U.S., they pulled it off. But it lived up. The game lived up to the billing. You know, everybody was hyping this one up before the World Cup even began. And I thought it had everything that we wanted.
Yeah, so much stuff. Megan Rapinoe, 2 goals, 1 early on a free kick that kind of went through everybody and into the net. And then in the second half, against the run of play, the U.S. just a terrific counterattack, totally ruthless. Alex Morgan and Tobin Heath combined to set up Rapinoe's goal. Terrific cutback pass by Heath to Rapinoe in front of the goal. And it's kind of incredible, don't you think, what Megan Rapinoe does in these giant moments where she is the focus of so much discussion on and off the field heading into this game. The president tweets at her, basically encouraging all of his followers to spew hate her way. And she just takes it in stride.
I saw a tweet earlier before the game. It was something like... with Trump supporters, you know, people love America so much it took them one comment by one player to root for a whole other country, is what the tweet said. And it's like, but you know what, if any player is equipped to handle this kind of attention, it's Megan Rapinoe. She's got pink hair, she battles criticism sometimes with humor and her maturity. And I think you just have to hand it to her that she was able to, I mean, like, there's no other way you would actually think that she would finish this crazy week, circus of a week, than scoring 2 goals.
Yeah, it's just another story in the legend of Megan Rapinoe. By the way, I'm going to apologize for the sound over my shoulder in the stadium here, but hopefully you all can hear me. She came up huge. Jill Ellis said in the press conference afterward, this is the most intense game environment she's ever been in, which is saying something when you think about, here's someone who won a World Cup final 4 years ago. And yet, I mean, being in the stadium tonight was very cool. I'm sure the atmosphere came through on the TV, but just the fans of both sides, the noise, It felt like a giant event. And I think that'll probably be the best atmosphere we see in this World Cup, especially now that the host team is no longer in it.
Right.
And really, you know, you kind of feel for France. Not only were they eliminated from a home World Cup tonight, but they also were eliminated from being in next year's Olympics, because only the top three finishers from Europe in this World Cup will get to go to the Olympics. So, another thing that stuck out to me, the French coach, Corinne Diacre, said after the game that playing the Americans in a tournament is much different than playing the Americans in a friendly. And that's where France has beaten the U.S., has been in friendlies in the last few years, but never once in a major tournament. And there just seems to be something that clicks in for the Americans when it really matters. And that's always been the case against France. And I don't think France, unfortunately, you know, they played well at times tonight. They're on the ball a lot. They had a lot of possession. But they also were disjointed, I thought, especially in the first half, and seemed to be frustrated with each other on occasion when they weren't combining in ways that they typically do.
And we talked before about how we thought, well, most people probably thought that France was going to target Crystal Dunn. But she totally won that battle with Diani all night, I thought. I mean, you know, there were some battles that, you know, she got crosses in. But I thought, for the most part, Dunn, if Rapinoe was MVP of this game, Dunn came in second. It's just, she's a natural forward. She's an attacker by nature. And she starts at left back. And her assignment was, hey, you need to go defend one of the best forwards in the world. And she did that.
I totally agree with you. I thought Crystal Dunn was terrific tonight. And even when I thought both fullbacks were, actually. I thought, yeah, Kelly O'Hara had a very good game as well. And there's one thing. There's a reason why they start for the U.S. in that position, is because they can get forward in the attack. But also, if they get they're just a little bit behind defensively, they've got the speed to catch up, both of those players. And they did that well tonight. I also thought Crystal Dunn's positioning was better tonight than it has been defensively in previous games. We've seen her be very narrow defensively, and a lot of times that has led to unchallenged crosses by other teams. We didn't see that nearly as much tonight. And so, yeah, I thought the U.S. fullbacks were terrific. The U.S. did do something sort of unusual. They went back into a five-woman back line at times in this game, which gives you an idea of how much respect Jill Ellis had for France and the way they were going about things. But I thought that defensively the U.S. was solid, except on the goal. You know, they let Renard get through for that header and made things really dicey for the last 10 minutes tonight. What do you think about Lindsey Horan not starting in this game?
Yeah.
That surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they said this after the game. I mean, was it because she was sitting on a card? Was it they couldn't risk? Okay. I mean, or did they want Mewis's height on Renard on set pieces? Or, which obviously she ended up scoring anyway.
Yeah, I asked Jill Ellis this question in the post-game press conference, and all she really said was, it is based on form. So she thinks Mewis is in better form than Horan right now. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but I also thought Mewis played pretty well tonight. You know, the U.S. has a lot of players who could start. I would actually prefer to see Ertz in the back line. And that would allow Mewis, Horan, and Lavelle to play. I thought Lavelle didn't have one of her better games tonight, but, you know, in the end, you didn't need it.
Yeah, well, that's where it's tough when you have so many players who can start and you only have so many spots. But the U.S. really struggled at times to control the midfield, and that's where Horan excels sometimes. I mean, we saw her do that a few games ago, and it's like you saw, especially on Twitter, just everybody clamoring, oh, the U.S. lost a ball, you can't keep possession, hey, Horan's on your bench over here. So, you know, I mean, obviously it ended up working out. If it is form, I guess we'll see that maybe she won't start on Tuesday against England, but if it's not, then maybe she, I mean, we'll just see, I guess, how how truthful Jill Ellis is being with that reason for sitting her on the bench to start. You
know, once again, Alex Morgan doesn't score in this game, and she had five in the first game against Thailand, hasn't scored since. She's still leading or tied for the Golden Boot race with now Megan Rapinoe's on five unexpectedly. So are Sam Kerr, Ellen White as well, who's going to be facing the U.S. in the next game. You know, one thing about Morgan tonight, she didn't score, but she certainly had a contribution along with Tobin Heath on that second goal. What's your sense of Alex Morgan at this point?
Well, she also drew the foul on the free kick for Megan's first goal. I mean, she hasn't really looked right the last few games. I feel like, you know, when she went down in the first half after clearing, I think it was a corner kick, and she was squirting water on her head. But it looked like the ball hit, you know, in the right spot, and she didn't collide with the player, but she was down for a little while, and then obviously she got back up and played the rest of the game. But I don't know, there's something just kind of off. And obviously, you know, Ella said a few games ago she got dinged up. I don't know. It just, like, she scores five goals, and then she's off her game a little bit. It seems just kind of bizarre.
Well, it does make me wonder in retrospect if it was really smart to have Morgan completely sit out the second game. And you know, at the time I could understand her not starting, but I would have thought you'd want to at least get 45 minutes for her. She's gotten beat up a fair amount in this tournament. She's had her back to goal quite a bit. You know, you do wonder if teams are targeting her a little bit. I thought that her drawing that yellow card early on that Rapinoe then scored on the free kick, early yellow cards like that tend to set a tone for a game. And so in a sense, you know, we saw Alex Morgan saying after the Spain game that Spain was reckless. She thought they were targeting her and wished the referee had done more. Well, the referee did do more in this game early on. And so I will give Alex Morgan some serious credit for drawing that yellow on Mbak, because obviously it then led to a goal. But, you know, I wonder if that had an impact on maybe how the French players defended the rest of the game. You know, I also asked Rapinoe if she was expecting there to just to be a two-player wall for France on that free kick goal of hers, because it looked like there was space for her to shoot into. You know, she said she was like at a tight angle, so she wasn't totally surprised. Ertz made her usual near post run, and I think that caused some chaos. I don't want to just blame the French goalkeeper on that one. I think partly to blame, but you know, I think her teammate should have done more to clear that ball before it came into her.
Yeah, and also on that free kick, it looked, I mean, I kept watching replays. It looked like Buhadi maybe had, it was hard to see.
Yeah.
I mean, there was countless players in front of her, and it looked like Julie Ertz was going to get something, some body part on it, but then chaos. So, yeah, it is tough to blame the goalkeeper for that one, solely, I mean.
Is there anything else about this this game or the U.S. right now that stands out to you?
I think it's important just to note that they got past this game that everyone has been hyping up for how long now? Like, not months, but weeks at least. And, you know, it's not like the competition is going to get easier, but this was the one that everybody had marked. I mean, I don't think Rapinoe is coming out saying that, you know, we're preparing for England to be an expletive circus. And so I feel like they got past this one. They can breathe a little bit, but they still have one, maybe two really tough matchups coming with England and then maybe facing Germany in the final.
Right. And I kind of look at it also as I think this U.S. team has been to enough rodeos before that they're not going to let their guard down after winning this game against France. I mean, I know everyone was calling this the final before the final, but I have a hard time thinking that the U.S. is going to suddenly, you know, not be ready for the next game against England.
Right.
In terms of that game, USA-England, is there anything you're thinking about heading into that game in terms of the matchup?
Well, watching the watching England's win over Norway yesterday, I guess it was, they were a little sloppy defensively. And I feel like one of the things I thought during the first half of the USA-France game, after Rapinoe's free kick goal, it's just at that point I was like, man, it's been two games since the U.S. has scored in the run of play. Now, this was before Megan scored in the second half. But if the U.S. knows that about England heading in, this attack that everybody's been hyping up to be the best U.S. attack ever needs to act like it. They need to act like they did against, they're not scoring 13 goals against England, but they need to be a little bit more prolific, I would say. And if England's prone to making mistakes back there, this would be a perfect time for someone like Alex Morgan to gain a little more confidence in a semi-final game before potentially playing in a final.
Yeah. You know, I look at this USA-England game. England won the She Believes Cup earlier this year in the U.S., had a 2-2 tie against the U.S. in that tournament. The England players sound confident, so I don't think that's going to be a concern for them, but I do kind of go back a little bit to what Diacre said tonight, the French coach, which is, you know, like I said earlier, like the U.S. is a different team in a big tournament than it is in a lesser tournament or friendly. So I think we really saw that tonight in the U.S. players. There was a real, not just a ruthlessness, but a sense of like, we know what to do in these situations. We've been here before. And we're going to find a way. And it's hard for me to think that if the U.S. can get past France tonight, that if they can do that, I don't see any reason they can't win the next two games, because I actually think they could be at potentially lower degree of difficulty than this one was.
Right. It's like they got through their hardest test. Now it's like, okay, we've got these next two.
In terms of... Let's just talk briefly about the other two quarterfinals, mm-hmm. Germany, Sweden, and Italy, Netherlands, four European teams. Anything stand out to you about those games?
Well, I saw a crazy stat today about Germany, Sweden, which I didn't know, that Sweden has not beat Germany in 24 years. The last
Yikes.
Time they beat them was in the 1995 Women's World Cup, which,
wow.
like, talk about a team haunting your dreams. I mean, Sweden has a lot of confidence coming in, you know, after beating Canada, but I also saw that Germany could potentially be getting their star Jennifer Marzan back, and she adds a different dimension to their attack. So they also haven't conceded a goal in this tournament, Germany, and yeah, I feel like Germany's going to get this one.
I think they will too. I happen to have been on hand for the 2016 Olympic final. Germany beat Sweden. I was on site for the round of 16 game, the 2015 Women's World Cup, where Germany just destroyed Sweden. Like, Germany is Sweden's bogeyman team, and I just don't see that changing here. I don't think this Sweden team is good enough to beat Germany, so... I think we're together on that one. In terms of Italy, Netherlands, Italy, the surprise of the tournament. Netherlands, I thought was a little fortunate late against Japan, but I like watching the Netherlands. Who do you like in this game?
I like watching the Netherlands too, but I also like watching Italy. And I'm always so bad at picking upsets, but I'm gonna just go with my gut and say Italy's going to keep riding this this train and continue to be a surprise in the World Cup and make some history here. I mean, the Dutch obviously have a better attack than China, but I like maybe Barbara Venancia and Cristiana Ghirelli to maybe be scrappy and get some goals in front of the box. I don't know. I'm going with Italy in a surprise victory over the Netherlands.
I just wish Italy, the players, would stop dancing the Macarena after games. I'm really bothered by it. They play that song FIFA plays that song in the stadiums here, and I just don't know where it came from, why they decided to revive it. I certainly don't know why the Italians dance to it, but more power to them. That's a bold pick. I think the Dutch are going to win the game. By the way, I didn't do a victory dance about my pick of my upset pick of Norway over Australia, by the way, last week.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
So,
yeah, that was good.
I got one right.
You can do the Macarena to celebrate.
I will not do the Macarena. Part of it is I'd like to see the Dutch advance because I think a Netherlands-Germany semifinal would just be absolutely fantastic. An amazing rivalry between those two countries, but also two teams that I think could end up playing a really fun game against each other. I feel like this Women's World Cup is delivering. I feel like, you know, we're getting some serious entertainment here, and that has been heightened even more by this USA-France game, which was just an absolutely amazing atmosphere.
How do you think, or do you think, that just the atmosphere traveling around France changes with the host nation out?
Well, whenever the host nation goes out, it's a little more muted. But I will say this, you know, the semifinals and the final are all sold out in Lyon. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a ton of American fans there. And now that we move to Lyon for these three games, Lyon's smaller than Paris. And so I think there should be a real field of the World Cup in Lyon. I hope so. I think it's kind of weird that the final's not in Paris, but whatever.
Right. Wouldn't the men's final be in Paris? I mean,
of course it would. They also would have had games in the Stade de France and not Parc des Princes. But in the end, it is what it is. And, I've really enjoyed being in Paris this month, but I also like Lyon. And we got some good games to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, good stuff. Good talking with you always, as Lakin. Let's do it again after the next U.S. game.
Sounds great.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Lakin Littman, as well as producer Brandon Nix, and everyone at Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Remember to check out Throwback, my podcast series on the origins of the U.S. Women's National Team and the FIFA Women's World Cup. See you next time.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.